Romans 12. If you have your Bibles, turn to Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. Romans 12, 1 and 2. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, these words from the Apostle Paul are timeless. They apply still today, 2,000 years later. We're thankful for your word, a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. I pray that you would speak to us today as we open your word. In Jesus' name, amen. This is not a call to comfort. It's not a call to be entertained. It's not even a call to go to church, but a call to sacrifice. Now here we are in 2020. Our vision for 2020 is to make His mission our mission. We want to focus on the mission of Christ. If we're going to wear the name Christ, call ourselves a Christian, wear the name Christ, if we're going to wear the name on our sign, Church of Christ, then we better know the heart of Jesus, the heart of the Heavenly Father portrayed through the Son, Jesus. And follow His example. Now the Apostle Paul in Romans 12 puts out this call to be a living sacrifice. That in following Jesus, you are to deny yourself. And you are called to be a servant. You're called to serve. And Jesus certainly set the example of what it means to be a living sacrifice, as well as He became a sacrifice on the cross in death. But as a living sacrifice, He displayed it throughout His life, but perhaps even greater in that upper room just before He went into the Garden of Gethsemane, where He prayed and He was arrested and taken to be crucified. But in that upper room, the disciples that were there with Him, He gathered with the 12 to remember the Passover. And as they entered into this upper room, they realized that there wasn't a servant, a slave at the door to wash their feet as was custom. And so they began to argue about, look at the dust and the dirt we tracked in. Who's the greatest among us? Because they really wanted to know, who's the least? Who's the last one in? Who's at the bottom of the totem pole? This is the one who needs to get up, get the towel and basin and wash our feet. And as they're trying to figure all this out, Jesus got up. He went and He wrapped the towel around Himself and He took the towel and basin and He went around and He washed the feet of His disciples. And He said, this is an example that I'm setting for you of what it means to be a living sacrifice, a servant. Well, perhaps you don't realize it, but you are a servant, a slave. A voluntary slave. In fact, during this time period, as Paul's writing this, they would have understood what it meant to be a voluntary slave. That if there was a debt owed, often someone would sell themselves or a family member into slavery to pay off the debt. Or if there had been a drought or a famine, in order to survive, they might sell themselves as a slave in order to have provisions to survive. This was a voluntary slavery. And often the slave would be at the door to wash the feet of the guests who came into the house. But it was also a law in many of the cultures that you would serve as that slave for 3 years and in the fourth year you'd be set free, the debt paid in full. So I say today that every one of us, and I believe this is what Paul is teaching us in Romans. And we're going to look at Romans 6 in particular. that we are voluntary slaves. You are either a voluntary slave to sin or a slave to righteousness. Romans 6, 16 to 18. Do you not know that if you present yourselves to anyone as obedient slaves, they would have understood this concept of presenting yourself as a slave, a voluntary slave to pay a debt. Do you not know that if you present yourselves to anyone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin, which leads to death, or of obedience, which leads to righteousness. But thanks be to God that you who were once slaves of sin have become obedient from the heart to the standard of teaching to which you were committed. Now, at the beginning of Romans 6, he begins with saying, should we continue in sin that grace should increase? By no means. Don't you know that all of us who were baptized were buried with Christ? We were raised into new life. You became a new person, the old person buried, the person of sin gone, no longer a slave to sin. You are now free from sin, raised into new life. And he's commending them for holding to this teaching of putting their faith in Jesus by being buried in baptism, raised into new life. But thanks be to God that you who were once slaves of sin have become obedient from the heart to the standard of teaching to which you were committed. And having been set free from sin, have become slaves of righteousness. Now people who are slaves of righteousness say things like, I have no choice but to do the right thing. I have no choice but to help that person in need. I have no choice but to serve the hungry and the thirsty and the broken. I have no choice but to serve the homeless. I see a need and I have to help. It isn't easy and it isn't comfortable and it wears me out, but I have to do something. And I've seen some of our people down on the street serving the homeless when the temperature was around 10 degrees. It's not easy. It's not comfortable. That's a slave to righteousness. I've seen some of our people in Haiti crawling around in the dirt, painting. That's a slave to righteousness. Those who are slaves to righteousness say things like, it isn't easy being left out or being different. It's not easy separating myself from my classmates. Sometimes it's lonely, but I have to do the right thing even if it isolates me from my peers. A slave to righteousness does the right thing always, even when it's unpopular. Now, a life that leads to success is a life that's built on trust. And if you want people to trust you in business, in your family, in relationships, you have to always do the right thing, even when it's unpopular. Those who are slaves to righteousness say things like, I know this is the way God wants it. It isn't always easy and not necessarily the way I want it. But I have to trust that God knows best. Slave to righteousness. But those who are slaves to sin say things like, don't judge me, I'm going to live my life the way I want to live it. A slave to sin. What's the big deal? Everyone's doing it. A slave to sin. It's okay as long as I'm not hurting anyone, right? A slave to sin. So you see, every one of us is a voluntary slave. You're either a slave to sin or a slave to righteousness. There's one that you just can't help but surrender to. And that's the one you're the slave to. A person who is a living sacrifice, a slave to righteousness, asks, how do I best use my time to serve God and others? How am I going to best use my time today to serve someone else? Ephesians 5, 15 to 7, but be very careful then how you live. Not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Colossians 4:5, be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. When you give your life to Christ, you're not just looking for salvation, you're looking for direction. You're not just looking for blessings, you're looking for a Lord. It's not all in what you get, but what you give. I read an article this past week in the Southeast Outlook. The Southeast Christian Church is a large Christian church, probably 40, 50,000 members. And so when they put out a newsletter, it's a newspaper every week. And I was reading in their newspaper about a young man, age 23, by the name of Joshua Goodman, who was, I would say, a poster child for what it means to be a slave to sin. He was an extreme slave to sin. Now, you don't have to be an extreme or a poster child for what it means to be a slave to sin, to still be a slave to sin. You may look great on the outside, but you can still on the inside be a slave to sin. He's quoted as saying, I was overcome by all the comforts of the world. It started with smoking cigarettes, then drinking, smoking weed, and taking painkillers. I was turning my mind off so much that I didn't even have to tend to what was in my heart. And this is a young man who grew up in the church. We went to church every Sunday. I thought if I went, I was good with God. I went to Sunday school up until 12. And everyone around me was getting baptized. I got baptized because everyone else was. I didn't really understand. I was just doing what everyone else was doing, and that followed me all the way through high school. And as a teenager, his life spiraled out of control. He was kicked out of his house twice as a teenager. At age 18, he spent a night in jail for a DUI. After high school, he went from job to job to job. He worked at UPS and he got fired for stealing. He worked at Ford and he got fired for failing a drug test. He was a slave to sin. And after 3 years, he had had no contact with his family. No contact with his parents for 3 years. And at the end of those 3 years, he ended up on the street, homeless. And like the prodigal son, he reached out and said, I have no place to live. Can I come back home? And his parents welcomed him back in, and his dad helped him get a job with one of the members of their church. Through that, he started really feeling the shame of his decisions and his life, and realizing he had been a slave to sin. And he started reading the Bible on his phone, on the YouVersion Bible app, and reading devotions in there. And he was reading one devotion called Battlefield of the Mind. And he said he fit every one of them that were described. He so related that it was a call to him in his journey back to his Heavenly Father. And his dad, seeing the change in him, gave him a book to read. And in the middle of the book, as he was reading it, he was so convicted that he had been a slave to sin that he needed to surrender his life to Jesus. And he fell down on his hands and knees and he cried out, God, I don't want to hate and be ashamed anymore. I want to live for you. And this past April, 2019, he was baptized as a declaration of his faith, not just because everyone else was doing it, not because it was expected of him, as a declaration of his faith. And he has now made a dramatic change in his life. That he is a slave to righteousness. And as I said before, you don't have to be a poster child for what it means to be a slave to sin, to still be a slave to sin. But you also don't have to leave and go live in the worst part of Richmond, which he is now living in the worst part of his community. He said he had this game system that he spent 7 hours a day after work. And he sold it, got rid of it. He says, I'm now a slave. I'm loving on people who have never been shown the love of Christ. Addiction, prostitution, and violence are flooding the streets. But Jesus has given us a light that can never be overcome by any darkness. Darkness cannot live where we shine His light. Now that is repentance. From being deeply a slave to sin, now deeply a slave to righteousness. An extreme example of a life transformed. Now, you may not look like Joshua Goodman, but you can still be a slave to sin. Now, as we consider this call to be a living sacrifice, let's renew ourselves for 2020. In Romans 12, that second verse says that we should be transformed by the renewing of our mind, the retraining of our minds. Romans 6, back to verse 18 and then 19 says, "You have been set free from sin and have become slaves to righteousness." I am using an example from everyday life. They would have understood what it meant to surrender yourself willingly, voluntarily as a slave. Because of your human limitations, just so that we can understand, he's bringing an earthly illustration. But as you used to offer yourselves as slaves to impurity and to ever-increasing wickedness, so now offer yourselves as slaves to righteousness, leading to holiness. One leads to death. One leads to life. One leads to impurity. One leads to holiness. And in communion on the first day of the week, as William said, we are called to examine our lives, to take inventory, to see where we are slaves. And we need to take the focus off of ourselves and place it upon the one who gave everything for us. We need to stop living by sight and fear and start living by faith and confidence. Now, for some of you, being a living sacrifice means stepping out and surrendering your life to Jesus. As he commended them for wholeheartedly holding to the teaching in which they had been entrusted, which is what Jesus said, to go into all the world and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And when Jesus was baptized, he went into the Jordan River because there was much water there. John was baptizing there and he was buried in the water. And you might be here today and you say, "Well, I was baptized as an infant." They placed some water maybe on your head. But I'm here to tell you, there's nothing in the water that saves you. Now, 1 Peter 3 says, baptism now saves you, but he clarifies, it's not the water. But it's that pledge of faith. It's that step of faith. It's that surrender by faith, that we are saved by grace through faith. So it is all about faith and not about the water. And so there are some here today that have never been buried with Christ in baptism. With the Bible baptism, the one that Jesus preached and proclaimed in the beginning, it was always immersion. There was never any other consideration. And it was always a step of faith, of personal faith. And so some of you here today need to be a living sacrifice by surrendering your life, by being buried with Christ, surrendering your life. And I know a lot of people are hung up on that, but what about my parents and my grandparents? That's my heritage. And you're asking me to leave everything I've ever known. And I'm asking you to make it your personal decision. Yes, your parents set you apart as an infant because they wanted you to be a Christ follower. Now it's time as an adult for you to step out and say, "I am making this statement of faith and I'm claiming it for myself, that I'm all in." It's certainly a humbling act. Maybe that's why Jesus proclaimed it. He wants us all to humble ourselves. And for you today, becoming a living sacrifice might be making some significant life changes. It might be realizing, as Joshua, that he was a slave to sin, and you might be realizing that I've been a slave to sin. I haven't been following Christ at all, and I need to repent and become a slave to righteousness. I need to be the Christ follower I started out to be. but I haven't been. You see, this isn't a call to comfort. It's not a call to an easy life. It's called to sacrifice. To do the right thing even when it's unpopular. To do the right thing even when it costs. Because when you're a slave to righteousness, you can't help it but do the right thing. And for you, it might be stepping out and putting your membership here. Carolyn Yeager did that in the early service. She stepped out and said, I'm ready to place my membership here. And maybe you've been here just kind of spectating, been here on the sidelines, but you're an immersed believer in Jesus and you are a Christ follower. You just have been sitting back. Maybe you've been burned by church. Because there are a lot of churches out there that are rough. Ronnie Jones used to say, probably still says it, that the greatest thing about the church is people. The toughest thing about the church is people. Because we're all imperfect, we're all sinners, and sometimes we can be just quite out mean to each other, even as Christian people. And so you might have been burned in a church. It's time to stop sitting on the sidelines and get in the game. Now, by placing your membership with us and jumping all in, let's look at the vision for 2020. Our vision is this, that we will personally share and demonstrate the love of Jesus so that everyone has the opportunity to be saved. Why? When you know the heart of God, when you know that God's plan for the church is so that people would be saved, then you can't help as a slave to righteousness do what it takes so that others can spend eternity with Him. Now, as we consider our core values, we know that the number one command to the church is to make disciples. Jesus, before He left this earth, He left His command to the church, go into all the world and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Colossians 1:28 says, He is the one we proclaim, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom so that we may present everyone fully mature in Christ. We proclaim Jesus. We need to proclaim Him in our life and in our actions and with our mouths so that everyone within reach can be saved and then mature and continue to be taught and lifted up and made mature in Christ. Why do we share and demonstrate the love of Jesus? Because there are people who are lost and will spend eternity without Christ, and a Christless eternity is beyond, is far beyond what we can even imagine how awful that would be. It is our core value to trust the Word of God as truth. If we're the only ones that hold out that this Word is truth, we will hold it up as truth. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, and who correctly handles the Word of truth. It is our core value to rejoice in growth. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved, Acts 2:47. Luke 15 says there is more rejoicing in heaven over one who comes to repentance. So every time someone is saved, all of heaven rejoices. And so if we want to value what heaven values, we need to rejoice over those who are saved. It is our core value to pursue excellence. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord. Colossians 3:23. For you see, when you're working for your Creator, He is worthy of our best. Under the old covenant, when they brought the sacrifices of their crops or from the flock, they were required to bring the first fruit, unspotted, their best. Now, you are more excellent in some areas than I am, and I have more excellence in other areas than you. We are all gifted differently, but we are all called to be used by God in His family. And so our vision for 2020 and our leaders, it's really the job of the leaders. He set aside pastors and teachers and leaders for the purpose of equipping the saints for works of service. And so our goal for 2020 is that we have 100% participation in service, that everybody can do something. It might just be as simple as writing letters, writing notes, or it may be standing down feeding the homeless when it's 10 degrees outside. Everybody can do something. And so our leaders are going to be working in 2020. It's our goal to work toward, and it may take more than a year, but we want 100% participation. Even if you're a guest here and you've only been here a couple times, we're going to find something for you to do. Because that's what God expects. He has gifted everyone to serve in His church. And if we aren't working towards 100% participation, then we don't know the heart of God and we're not doing what He's called us to. Lao Fook, a Chinese Christian, felt a call to become a slave to righteousness. And we're not all called in the same way. We're not all called to literally sell ourselves as slaves, but he had a heart of compassion for his Chinese brothers that were slaves in South Africa working in the mines, that he sold himself. He became a voluntary slave by selling himself into slavery to work the mines for the purpose of sharing the message of Jesus with his brothers, his Chinese brothers who were slaves. And he didn't live the 5 years. He died working the mines. It was brutal work. But as working as a slave, while working as a slave in that mine, he witnessed 200 give their lives to Christ because of his willingness to be a slave to righteousness. Heavenly Father, forgive us. We so value our comfort. In many ways, our comfort has become a god that we worship and we love. And we pursue comfort, life's comforts. And often we pursue that over serving you. Forgive us. Forgive us as a church for pursuing comfort rather than sacrifice and service. I pray that going forward we would be a people known by our faith, known by our sacrifice. That there is a church filled with slaves to righteousness who love people even when it's hard, especially when it's hard. Father, sometimes we can't even go to church, let alone be a living sacrifice day after day. So, Father, I pray that you would stir in us with your Holy Spirit a renewed sense of purpose. That if there's one here that needs to step out and surrender by confessing Jesus as Lord and being baptized the Bible way, the way that you've called and commanded, that they would have the courage and the humility to step out and say, I'm ready. Or maybe one here today that needs to leave a life of sin, being a slave to sin, to be a slave to righteousness, a time of recommitment, rededication. Or maybe, Father, there's one here that's ready to jump in, to be a part of this family, an immersed believer who wants to place membership with us and identify and to serve and to get to work. And I pray that you give them the courage to step out. Move during this time of decision in Jesus' name. Amen. If you have a decision to make, why don't you come as we stand and sing.